Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Mem Bet. Today's daf has been sponsored anonymously for the Hatzlacha of Moshe Ben Rachel. Today's daf is being studied by Alun Ishmat, Acham Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam, and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning today on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Sheni, two lines from the bottom of the daf. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Notel Adam et Beno Va'eben Biyado. We said in the Mishnah that it's permissible on Shabbat. And the Chaser, to carry a child, even though the child is carrying in his hand a rock, even though the rock is Mukseh. So the Gemara says, Amri Deber Biyanai. Rabbi Yanai explained the Mishnah, Bitinok Sheyesh Lo Gerguin Al Abiv. It's talking about a specific case where the child has craving or longing for his father. And if you don't pick up the child is going to obviously start to cry, and Rashi says he's going to become sick. That's not going to be mortal danger, but it's going to become troubled enough that the rabbis waived their law of Mukseh and allowed you to carry the child, even though he's carrying Mukseh, in order to relieve him from his longings, his gerguin, that he would have for his father. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, my idiya even afilu dinar nameh. So why did the Mishnah then say only if he's holding a rock, for that matter, even if he's holding money? Which means the point is, it doesn't matter what type of mukseh he's carrying, the point is we allow it because since mukseh is only drabbanan, we waived it in a place where the child can become choneh. The Gemara says, Alama Amar Rabba. Didn't we learn in the name of Rabba? Doshanu Ela Evan. Aval Dinar Asur. Rabba taught that the Mishnah specifically only is talking about a rock. However, a dinar, they would not allow to carry the child. The Gemara wants to know, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Even inafla la lo atabu le'ituye. If the rock falls, we don't suspect the father is going to go pick up the rock. However, dinar inafil, if the coin falls out of the kid's hands, atabu le'ituye. So it's clear that the father is going to come and pick it up. So therefore, Rava is osir. Now it's interesting that she points out, it's not only asur to carry a child that's carrying a dinar, but Rava holds that it's asur even to walk with a child that's holding a dinar. Because again, it's the same concern. The dinar might fall and the father might come and pick it up. So the Mishnah that says Evin is Dafka Evin. Gemara says, Tanya Kevate de Rava. We have a source for Rava, meaning which we learned in Rava's name in the beginning of the Gemara, and as well as now, that Rava holds that when you're carrying, let's say, a child, and the child is carrying something that is mukseh, so we say it's as if you're carrying the mukseh item. If you remember, we learned at the beginning of the Gemara, if you have a child that has a kis, has a wallet around his neck, so we said, well, you're going to be patur on the child, but you're going to be hayab on the wallet. You're patur on the child because we said, hay no se tatzmo. But it's going to be considered as if you carry the wallet, even though the wallet is attached to the child. So the Gemara is going to bring a braita to show you that even though you're carrying something on the bottom, you're hayab for what's on top of that item. That's what she says. Tanya Kevate, third line, Rabba, dechina kitla alyon. When you're carrying, okay, when he says, when you're carrying the elyon, the top, keman dafke tahton, which means as if you're carrying what's underneath it, gufeh, damet, umechayev, and you're going to be hayav. Let's see the case of the braita. Kemara says, hamotzi kelav, a person, let's say, goes out in the public domain on Shabbat with his vessels, his clothes, mikupalim, they're folded up, umunachim al ketefo, they're folded up on his shoulder, meaning he's not wearing them. He's just, folding them up and they're resting on his shoulder. Not the normal way of wearing them. And for that matter, in his hand, he has his sandals and his rings. Meaning he's not wearing his shoes and he's not wearing his rings. So in this case, hayav. Because you're carrying. Meaning it's not you're wearing them. You're carrying them. Therefore, it's considered full-fledged hotza'ah. Now, of course, if he was wearing them,
He'd be patur. Seems this patur over here really means mutar, because if you're wearing your clothes, there's no issue.
Hamotzi adam bekelav alav v'sandelav benaglav v'tabeotav biyadav patur.
Now, if you carry a man, you're carrying a person, and the person has his kelav alav, he has his clothes on him, meaning he's wearing his clothes,
v'sandelav benaglav, he has his shoes on him, he's wearing them, v'tabeotav biyadav,
and his rings are being worn on his hands, so you're patur. Why you're patur? Because you're only going to be patur on the guy, because we say, Haino se tatsmo, so it's patur aval asur, but on the stuff that he's wearing, there is no problem, because he's wearing it.
V'ilu hotzi an kemochen hayav.
Now, of course, if you would carry the goods, like they are, meaning if he wasn't wearing them, so of course you're going to be hayav. Rashi says, "Hotzian kemochen shaya oto elyon achuz bem." Let's say the person is carrying another person, and that person is carrying his clothes. So what's the deen? You're going to be hayav. Why? Because it's as if you are carrying the clothes. Again, so that proves to you what? That even though you're carrying the man, and the man is carrying his clothes, it's considered as if you're carrying the clothes. You're patur on the guy because why? But the guy himself who's carrying his clothes in his hand, you're going to be hayav on that. So you prove that what? What Rava said. Rava's deen was what? When you carry the child, let's say, you're hayav for the keys, or when you're carrying the child, it's as if you're carrying the rock. So you see the same thing over here. When you're carrying the guy and he's carrying his clothes, it's as if you're carrying the clothes, and therefore you're going to be hayav.
Comes again on and continues.
The Mishnah said that if you have a basket and there's a rock in the basket, so then it is permissible to carry the basket. The Gemara says, "Ve'amai teve kalkala basis ledvara asur." Once already the rock is resting in the basket, so the basket should have a din of what's called a basis. It's a base for holding something that's mukseh. Now the law of a basis is that the basket itself should become mukseh itself. Mitam basis. And the fact of the Mishnah said that you can carry a basket with a rock in it.
Amar Abba, Barbar Hanan, Barav Yohanan, Acha, Bekalkala, Melea, Perot, Askenan.
We're talking about a basket that has in it fruit. So therefore, it's really a basis, Lidvar, Hamutar. Because since there's fruit in the basket, so therefore, I don't care that there's a rock in there as well. But there's Heter and Isura, and the primary item is what? The fruit, therefore, mutar.
So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'nishdinu leperi, v'nishdi le'evin.
Why don't you just throw out the fruit and throw out the rock? Meaning, empty out the basket, and now you'll have all the goods on the floor. V'niktininu be'yadayim. And go now, carry the fruit. Which means, why should you be allowed to carry them together? Turn over the basket. Now you'll have the rock on the floor, you'll have the fruit on the floor, and we'll carry the fruit separately. Why should we allow you a dispensation to carry mukseh just because it's together with non-mukseh? We figured out a way that you can alleviate it. Empty it out.
So the Gemara says, can there be a lie?
No, we're going to answer this like it'll be a lie.
Amar Rav, beperot ha-mitunafim.
We're going to see in a different case, that Rav Eli is going to give an answer that we're talking about ripened fruit that are still soft. That if you turn the basket over, it's going to spoil the fruit. It's going to ruin them, because they're soft. So therefore we're talking about fruit that will get spoiled. So therefore it's not an option to turn the basket over in order to separate the rock from the basket. So therefore, again, you have a basket, you have freshly ripened fruit that are still soft, and you have a rock. So what's the heter? Basis, tadvara, mutar, tadvara, isur.
So the Gemara says, velin'irinu ni'ure.
So why don't you just shake it, which means that she says,
velin'irinu ni'ure, ad shi'istaleka perot min ha'evin netoka kalkala l'stadin, v'yashlik ha'evin abada b'ni'uroteha.
Meaning, shake the basket a little, in order that the rock moves to one side, and then just empty out the rock. Which is, no one's asking you to do what we wanted you to do originally, to empty out all the contents. Because you can't, you're going to ruin the fruit. But there is a way to shake it a little, in order to get the rock to go to one side, and then you just tilt it and let the rock fall out. Why would we allow you to blatantly carry a mukseh with a non-mukseh? We're trying to figure out options to minimize your exposure to the mukseh. So the Gemara says, Amar v'chaya barashe amarava haka bekalkala pechuta askinan. So we're talking about a different case he learns. We're talking about a kalkala that's pechuta, that's deficient, meaning there's a hole in the basket. The rock itself is serving as a plug and as a wall to the hole in the basket. So therefore, according to this answer, the rock is really non-mukseh, because the rock now has become part of the basket itself. Because really this rabbi is holding, if you have fruit and you have a rock, just shake the rock out. There's no heter to carry them both together. And they have to say that the rock is actually serving as the wall of the basket, and that's the case of the Mishnah. That's why we allow you to carry the items. Now, according to this answer, you could say that the fruit can be regular fruit. You don't have to come out to say that in the perot metun nafim. Because the regular fruit over it would be permissible, because the rock is not even an issue of it. We're not going to make you turn over the fruit, because the rock itself is considered part of the basket, part of the wall. The only question you could ask, which is a question of the Tosafot, according to the first answer of the Gemara, where we're talking about, we have the fruit in the basket, and the Gemara said, why don't you empty it out? We said, no, that's a perot, hametun nafim, and therefore you're going to ruin them. So why empty them out? Why don't you just say, take the fruit with your hands? Leave the basket stationary, you just take the fruit with your hands and transport them. As a matter of fact, the Gemara is going to give that solution later on, in a different case. So why is that an option? So Tosfot basically gives two answers. One answer he says is that we're talking about a basket that has a very narrow opening that you can't fit your hands in there. It seems the fruit, a very small fruit. So the only option would be is to turn it over for them to go out, but sticking your hand in to take out the fruit is not an option. Another answer is, later on when we're going to say take out the terumah, it's going to actually be, it's talking about where they're in separate compartments, which means you have a basket, and all the different parts are in separate containers. And therefore it's an option, let's say, to take out container by container, but to take out fruit without a container, I mean they're just live open fruit, Hakamim didn't make you do that, because you might drop it, and therefore it might fall on the floor and it might become soiled. So therefore, Hakamim would be lenient according to the first opinion, if the perot betun nafim, and therefore there's no option to turn it over. So the Gemara says, what should you do? Gemara says, you can carry the rock. The second opinion says, no, in that case you have an option. Shake it a little, get the rock to one side, tilt it, get the rock out, and therefore his heter is only when the rock is serving as a wall of the basket. The only question is, once you're telling me that there's an, according to the first answer, shake the basket, tilt it out, why don't you say the same thing by the tinok? The tinok is carrying the rock. So why don't you say, you know, shake the kid a little or move his hand in order to get the kid to drop the rock? Why do you just allow right away to pick up the kid? So Tosafot says on the top, Yishlomar, Im yashnichu miyado yitzak hatinok giyibke. Obviously what we said before, because there, if you cause the kid to drop the rock, so he's going to start crying. So therefore that wasn't an option by the case of the child. Comes the Gemara and says, Metaltelin terumah. Okay, let's go review what we said in our Mishnah. We said if you have terumah tehora, which is viable on Shabbat, the Kohen can eat terumah tehora, and it's mixed in a basket with terumah teme'ah. Obviously, terumah teme'ah is not viable, it's mukseh. So the Mishnah said if they're mixed together, you can carry the basket. Okay, the understanding would be, because you have basis, the dvar heter, and dvar isur, and therefore you can carry it. So now the Gemara is going to analyze exactly what the exact scenario is. And the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Chasda, lo shanu ela shetehora lemata v'teme'a lema'la. We're talking about where the terumah tehora is on the bottom of the basket, and the terumah teme'a is on the top of the basket. Then we say you can carry the entire basket. Aval tehora lema'la v'teme'a lema'ta. But if the Torah is on top, shakir le l'tahorah, just take the Torah from the top of the basket, v'shavik le l'temeah, and leave the Tameh, which means it's accessible. If it's on top of the basket, just grab it. Now again, we're talking about, obviously, where you can stick your hand in the basket. And as we learned earlier from Tosfot, we're talking about where they're in separate vessels. Therefore, there's no hashat. Even if you drop it, it's not going to be an issue. So the Gemara is coming along to say, again, that what? If the Terumah Tehorah is on top, you can't move the basket. Just take the Terumah Tehorah. If the Tehorah is on top of the basket, just take the Tehorah. If the Tameah is on top, you have no choice. Carry the basket. So the Gemara says, V'chi Tehorah Lemata Nameh. So this is what I mean. Even if the Torah is on the bottom of the basket, lishdinu v'rin ketinu, just pour out the basket. Why should we allow you to carry it, empty out the contents of the basket? So he goes, Amar Bilai, Amar Rabbi, perotam tu nefin askinan. So he comes along the Bilai, like we understood earlier. So we're talking about fruit, that if you turn over the basket, what's going to happen? They're going to become mitunaf. So therefore, the case with the tinumat teme'ah is on top, and the Torah is on the bottom, your only option is what? Carry the basket. I spill it out, you can't spill it out, because it's going to ruin the fruit. Metibe, we have a question. Metaltelin terumat teme'ah, ima teura v'ima cholin. Right, we have a statement that's actually like our Mishnah said. You could take terumat teura with teme'ah, with cholin, that's regular food. Ben sheteura lema'ala v'teme'ah lemata, ben sheteme'ah lema'ala v'teura lemata. Here the Gemara says it doesn't matter how the configuration is. Whether the Terumah Tehorah is on the bottom, and even if the Terumah Tehorah is on the top, it is still permissible to carry the basket. What do you mean? We just said that if the Terumah Tehorah is on top, you can't carry the basket. You have to just take the Terumah Tehorah out. Here it's saying that even if the Terumah Tehorah is on top, no problem. This is a question against Rav Chasda that made a difference between Terumah Tehorah on top or Terumah Tehorah on the bottom. Amar lecha Rav Chasda, matnitin letzorech gufo, baraita letzorech mekomo. Rav Chasda gives the answer. Our Mishnah, which makes a difference between if the Terumah is on top, the Tehorah, or it's on the bottom, is talking where you're using the Terumah Tehorah to eat. Tzorek gufo. So let's analyze. If you're using it, the Tzorek gufo, meaning you want to eat it, so if the Terumah Tehorah is on top, why should we allow you to take the cold basket? Just take the Terumah Tehorah and go eat it. The braita that didn't make a difference, whether it's on top or bottom, is talking where you don't want to eat the Terumah. You need the space where the basket is. So therefore, Tzorek mekomo. So if you need the place where the basket is, it doesn't matter how the configuration of Terumah on top or on bottom is. Because bottom line, you need to move the basket because you need its place. So therefore, in the Mishnah where we're talking with sort of gufo, where you need the fruit, so if the Terumah Tehorah is on top, just take the Terumah Tehorah and go eat it. However, in the braita that we just quoted, that didn't make a difference if the Terumah Tehorah is on top or on the bottom, so you could always move the basket. That's because you need the place of the basket, the sorech nekomo. So the Gemara says, "My duhke de Rav Chasda lukmim matitim the sorech gufo." Why did Rav Chasda come along and learn the Mishnah that it's talking about sorech gufo, where you want to eat the fruit, and therefore you have to make a difference if the Terumah is on top or the Terumah Tehorah is on the bottom? Why don't you just learn the Mishnah that it's also talking about Sorek Gufo, Sorek Mekomo, and therefore you can learn the Mishnah when it says you could move the Terumah Tehorah to Me'ah in all cases? Why did he limit the Mishnah to a Sorek Gufo case, and therefore he was forced to make a Hiluk between if the Terumah Tehorah is on top or the bottom? What forced Rav Chasda to learn the Mishnah like that? So the Gemara says, Amar Avam Maniti Kivate Daika. No, the Mishnah is meduyek, it is precise like Rav Chasda's understanding. Why? Diktani sefa. Because let's look at the end of the Mishnah. What's the Gemara going to do? The Gemara is going to show you another case in the Mishnah that's also talking about Sore Gufo. And therefore, since the end of the Mishnah is talking about Sore Gufo, he wants to keep it consistent, so therefore he learned the first part of the Mishnah is also Sore Gufo. What is that case? Ma'o cha'alakar. Guy forgot, let's say, money on top of his pillow. Okay? It's a Shabbat. So the Mishnah says, shake the pillow off, ve'en noflot. Right, and the money falls off. That's only talking, when do we allow you to shake the money off? When you need the pillow. You want to sleep on the pillow. But let's say you need the place of the pillow. So therefore, shaking the money off is not going to help you, because you need the place where the pillow is. Then you can actually lift the entire pillow with the money that's on it. So you see our Mishnah that said shaking it off was talking about Sore Gufo, because you need the pillow itself. So the Gemara says, the Sefer the Sore Gufo, Reshana Mele the Sore Gufo. From the fact that the Sefer of the Mishnah was talking about a case of Sore Gufo, what's the case again of Sore Gufo? You need the pillow. So what does the Mishnah say? Shake the money off and go put your head on the pillow. Go use the pillow. You need the pillow, Sore Gufo. So if I say the Reshah is also Sore Gufo, meaning you have Terumah, Tehorah, and Terumah, Tebeah. Right? And I want to eat the Terumah, Tehorah. Therefore, it'll only be permissible to move the basket, what, if the Terumah, Tehorah is on the bottom. Because there's no option. I can't access, so I can bring it to the table, move the basket, and of course empty it out, no problem. However, if the Terumah, Tehorah is on top, then already I do not have a dispensation. Just take the Terumah, Tehorah and eat it in that place. Comes the Gemara further and says, Rabbi Yehuda Amir Af Ma'ali. Now we learned in our Mishnah, let's just go review the case of our Mishnah. We have a case where you have Hulin. Hulin is regular food that can be eaten by a Yisrael. Now, let's say a Se'ah of Terumah fell into a basket of Hulin. Terumah is Kodesh. So the deen is, Terumah becomes batel if it falls into 100 times hulin. Normally in other isudin, the deen is batel b'shishim, for example. Mm-hmm. We need 60 times. Like, for example, by milk and meat, you need 60 times against the milk in order to make the meat kasher, right? By Terumah, it's 100 times. So therefore, you have a 100 se'ah of hulin. One se'ah of Terumah fell in, what's the deen? Batel. However, you still need to make an adjustment. You need to take one se'ah out, put it on the side. We consider as if that se'ah you took out is the Terumah, even though you really can't know for sure, but that makes the tikkun. So now you're left with 100 parts, and that already can be eaten by anybody. So the Mishnah said, if that happened on Shabbat, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to take out that one se'ah on Shabbat, and now the food becomes edible. So the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. It's mitakin. Now, of course, it's not the regular mitakin where you're actually fixing something, but it should be assumed Rabbanan, because it can lead to regular fixing. So the Gemara asks, V'amai haka mitakin? What do you mean? How can Rabbi Yehuda mitakin such a thing? By taking out the one se'ah, you're on mitakin the food. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda could be the Ezes Fidale. So now what the Gemara is going to try to do is to try to find what's the rationale of Rabbi Yehuda? Why is it not mitakin? So the Gemara is going to try different attempts to pair off Rabbi Yehuda with different opinions to try to figure out why is it not mitakin. So the first opinion they try to pair him with is the Bili Aizid. What does the Bili Aizid say? Damar Terumah Ba'ina Mahta. Which basically means that Terumah is considered as if it sits separately. Meaning, the way you look at this mixture, you have 100 hulin. One Terumah is in there, right? Rabbi Eliezer does not consider it's all mixed. He considers that Terumah, wherever it's in there, it's as if it's on the side. As if it is already separately. And therefore, when you take it out, you're really not mitakin anything, because already it was on the side. Which means, Imagine as if it's in its own compartment and it's separate from the rest of the items. So therefore, when you're taking it out, you're taking something out that already was considered separate and on its own. Now how do you know that Bili Ezer holds of that opinion, that we look at the Terumah as if it is separate already, even though it's in the mixture? So we have a Mishnah, Ditnan. So listen to this Mishnah. se'ah terumah. You have a se'ah of terumah, shenafla lepachot me'me'ah. It fell into less than 100. It fell into 99. Now what's the rule? Right away, it's all asur. You didn't have the proper shi'ur of bitul. Okay, it's 1 in 99. Now what happened? V'nidme'u. Nidme'u means it got mixed up. Right? It's 1 terumah in 99. Nidme'u meaning it's mixed up. V'nafal min ha-medumah le'makom aher. Now that mixture of, well, actually it's 99 and 1, so that mixture of 100 now fell in, or actually one piece, one se'ah of that mixture, fell into another pile. And you don't have 100 either. Odd pump, you have one terumah that fell into 99. So far, everything's asur. One of those now, in that first basket, one se'ah, fell into a second basket, where you also don't have bitul. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer omer, medama'at ketrumat vaday. We consider that that one se'ah that came out is considered definite terumah, and therefore in the second basket you're going to need 100 against that one. Whereas Hachamim omrim, ena meduma medameya, the mixture does not osir the second mixture, ela lefi heshbon, only according to the ratio. Meaning, according to the Hachamim, they're going to explain like this. When you have one se'ah that mixes in, let's say, 99, so now it's considered all mixed. It's called medumah, it's mixed. Now when you take out one se'ah, you're going to have, in that one se'ah, part hunin, part terumah. And therefore, for example, in this case over here, you'll have, let's say, one part terumah, 99 parts hulin, in that one se'ah. And therefore, proportionally in the second mixture, you'll only need 100 against that one part of terumah that's in that se'ah. You don't need 100 against the whole piece. That's Hakamim Shita. Rabbi Eliezer says no. You need 100 against the whole item. What's the logic at this point? Because you consider it separate. Which means, when you have the one that fell into the 99, the Bidya is the Terumah is considered as if it's alone, on the side. And therefore when it comes out, we consider it as if it's Terumah Vaday. We don't consider it mixed with everything else. We need to go against the whole 100. So we'll say the Bihuda must subscribe to the Bidya Ezer. And therefore he says, since it's considered separate, you could take it out on Shabbat. Because you're not mitaken anything, it was separate already from the beginning. And where do you see the shitav that the terumah is separate? The way to be in the Ayazir understands the case where the midumah, where it gets mixed in a second basket. So the Gemara says, hold it. Imar de shamait la lechumra. Where do you see to be the Ayazir saying his deen as considered separate when it's a stringency? Here in the case where it falls into the second basket, it's a stringency to say you consider it separate, because now you need 100 against the entire item. That's a stringency. Mm-hmm. Where did you see that the Bileza is going to hold that you consider it separate? Likula, meaning on Shabbat it's a leniency. By saying it's separate, you're going to be allowed to take it out. That's already a kula. Odpam, how could you say that the Biuda goes like the Bileza? Is it? And you want to show me that what? You see in the Mishnah, the Bili Ezra obviously held that what? The Terumah is considered separate already. What's the proof? From the fact that when a Se'ah falls into the second basket, you need against the whole Se'ah, implying what? There's no mixture, it's not considered proportionate. So I'll tell you, yeah, that's only because it's a stringency to say it's considered separate. And therefore, why you need 100 against the entire Se'ah? But to say that in our Mishnah, it's a leniency. Because by saying that it's separate, it's going to allow you what? To take it out on Shabbat. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer only said it's considered separate nechumrah. But who said he said it? Lekula. So if we have no proof. So we have to go back to try to find the source for the Biuda. So the Gemara says, Ela hu dama ki Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda is following not Rabbi Eliezer. He's following Rabbi Shimon. Kidetnan. New case. Se'a teruma. Shenafla lemea. Interesting case. You have a se'a teruma. It fell into 100. Okay. 100 we say is batil. However, it only becomes edible once you take out a se'ah first. You have to take out any se'ah, correct? What happened? Velo espik lahagbiya. You didn't get a chance to take out the se'ah. Ad shenafla ahirit. And now another se'ah terumah fell in.
102.
So now you have technically two terumot in 100. So the question is, how do you analyze it? So the Gemara says, Harezu asura. So the first rabbis come along and say it's asura, because bottom line, we look at it as it is now. Bottom line, you have two terumot in 100. That's not the proper ratio. So therefore the whole thing is asur. Where is it? Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says mutar. Now let's try to analyze, how could Rabbi Shimon say mutar? So the rationale the Gemara is thinking, the way it must work is, when the first teruma falls in, so now already there was 100, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's batir. Now, that teruma is considered now on the side. That's considered already separate, right? And then when the second teruma falls in, so now already it's falling in again to 100, and therefore it'll be batir as well. Meaning the logic to say that when the second falls in, that it's okay, because you obviously consider the first one already as if it's on the side. It's separated already. And therefore the Biyuda must subscribe to that opinion of the Biyuda that considers it separate. Which we, and this is a kuda, which is obviously we're saying this is a leniency. And therefore, just as he's lenient to consider it separate, that what? That if the second terumah falls in, it's not going to be a problem. So too in the Mishnah, you'll be able to take it out on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, who told you to explain the machloket like that? Umimai. Who told you to explain it like that? The Gemara says, Umimai, dilma hatam behaika mipalge. Maybe I can explain the machloket in that case differently. The Tana Kama Sabar Afagab de Naflu Beze Aharze. Tana Kama is going to say, even though they fell in one after the other, Keman de Nafal de Batahad Dame. He considers it as if they fell in simultaneously. The Alla Hamshin Nafla, the Alla Hamshin Nafla. Whereas the rabbis consider, even though they fell in separately, I consider if they fell in together. Now, if two Tirumot fell into 100, so it's like 50-50. So therefore, obviously, it's not going to be batil. And what does the Bishimon hold? The Rabbi Shimon sabar kamaita batil bimea. Which means, I'll tell you, no, the first one was batil already. Which means we consider it as if they fell in, as like they fell in, separately. And then when the first fell into 100, so now you have already bitul. Which means now you have already 101 kasher, it's all good. And now the second one that falls in, it's in 101, which means who told you to learn it is because it's considered separate, and therefore it's on the side, and therefore it's not going to affect when the second terumah falls in. It's as if it's only one terumah there because the first terumah is on the side. On the contrary, I'll say it's not on the side. I'll tell you, when the first one fell in, it's mixed, and since it's mixed in 100, batel. And then when the second one falls in, it's mixed in 101. And then we have no problem. So we're back to square one. How do you know? Where did the Biyuda get his opinion that you could take out the terumah or that one se'ah on Shabbat? So the Gemara says in its final answer, Elahu dama ke Bishimon. So he's following a different opinion of the Bishimon. Ben Elazar. The Bishimon ben Elazar. The Tanya, the Bishimon Elazar Omer, Noten Einav Besad Zeh, Ve'ochel mitzad acher, which means, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he holds that you don't even have to take the se'ah out. He holds it's enough to mentally, in your mind, when you have, let's say, our case of the Mishnah, 100 chulin, one terumah fell in. Batel. But it's not good until you extract one, right? Rabbi Shmuel Chazal says, it's enough to mentally say, alright, the one se'ah that I have to take out, I'm going to imagine it's on the side. It's in there, but it's on the side. And then you can continue, you can eat right away. So since, according to Bishom and Hazar, you could know, ten einav, you just put your eye, so to speak, and say, right, that one se'ah is in the left corner on the bottom. Right, that's good enough. So already, the logic is going to be, since the Bishom and Hazar says that it's enough to mentally designate it, so therefore, taking it out is not considered a tikkun. Because already mentally designating it would do the job. So therefore, taking it out is just ceremonial. Because I don't even have to go that far. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda must subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, Umi sabar le kevateh? Does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agree with Rabbi Yehuda? What are you talking? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar argues on Rabbi Yehuda. How? Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer ma'alin et medumah be'had u'me'ah. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to actually take out on Shabbat one se'ah from the mixture. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer noten einav besadze ve'ochel mitzad acher. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, no, we're not going to let you take it out. Since you could mentally designate it somewhere in there, that's enough. You can't do more than that. So how could you say to Yehuda, holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he didn't go so far to tell you you could take it out. On the contrary, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds, since you could designate it, that's all you could do. I'm not going to allow you to make an extra tirha to physically take it out if you can get away with just mentally designating it. So how could you say, oh, Rabbi Yehuda va Mishnah, he goes with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What do you mean? If he goes with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, then just mentally designating is enough. Whereas if Yehuda says now Mishnah, you can actually take it out. So how could you say he goes like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? So the Gemara concludes and says, Rabbi Yehuda adifa mid Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Elazar plus. Meaning, he holds like Rabbi Elazar that mentally designating it works. But whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, that's it, just mentally designated. He's the view that goes a step further. He says, once already you can mentally designate it, so therefore there's no problem to take it out because it's mitukan already. You're not being mitakan. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, no. Since you can mentally designate it, atkan. Leave it. What are you going to get involved with it for? Don't take it out. Ta-da. Whereas the view that says, no. I agree with you. Once you're telling me, I could say, all right, the one set that I have to take out is on the side. Once you're telling me that, what's your problem? Go ahead and take it out already. Because already it's considered mitukan. So really, the Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar plus, and he's more lenient than him as well. Comes the Mishnah and says, Ha'evin sha'al pi yahabit. You have a rock that is on top of a barrel. Mate al sida dehinofelet. You're able to tilt the barrel. You want to get to the wine. You tilt the barrel, the rock falls off, and then you can drink from the wine. Haita bin ahabiyot. But let's say this barrel with the rock on it is amongst other barrels. If you're going to tilt it, the rock now is going to fall on another barrel and break it. So what's the option? Magbiha. So you could lift the entire barrel. Umate al sida, and then tilt it. Let the rock fall, you know, on the side, away from the other barrels. Okay, so that's the first case in the Mishnah. Sometimes we only allow you to tilt, and other times we actually let you lift the barrel totally up. Next case, ma'ot sha'alakar. Okay, you have the money that is on the pillow. Mina'er etakar. You shake the pillow, then noflot. Like we learned in the previous Gemara, you want to sleep on the pillow, so therefore you're able to shake the money off, and you could lie on the pillow. Haita alav lishleshit. New point. If let's say on the pillow, which we're talking about, let's say a felt pillow, a cloth pillow, there was lishleshit, there was saliva, or types of tsu'ah, let's say, of filth on the pillow itself, mekanha besimbartut. The only way you can clean it is with a dry cloth. But you're not allowed to put water on it. Because putting water on cloth is considered sharia, that's soaking it in water, and the rule is shidiyato zohi kibuso, that when you put water on a cloth item that's dirty, that's considered laundering it. Haitashilor, however, if it was a leather pillow, so then already notin ali amayim achitichle. Leather, there's no kibus. Actually, I shouldn't say that. There is kibus by leather, but just pouring water on leather is not considered its kibus. And therefore, if let's say it was a leather, soft leather pillow, where you have, let's say, some nechlucha on it, some dirt on it, they will allow you to just pour some water on it, on the leather, because that's not considered kibus. But certainly we're not going to let you clean it and rub it and scrape and all that, because it is kibus by leather itself, but the pouring water will be legal by leather. Comes give it on says, Amarav unamarav. Lo shanu ela b'shokheyah. When do we say you're able to tilt the barrel in order to get the rock off of it to get to the wine? That's only took when you forgot the rock on the barrel before Shabbat. You forgot. Aval b'maniyah. But let's say you willingly, intentionally placed the rock on the barrel before Shabbat. Na'asa basis advara asur. Then the barrel becomes a basis, and the barrel itself becomes mukseh. So we're learning a very important rule. To make a basis, it has to be placed there willingly, intentionally, before Shabbat. Ah, so in this case, we allowed you to tilt the barrel, so you have to say it's not a basis. How is it not a basis? Must be before Shabbat, you put the rock down on top of the barrel with intention to take it off. And what happened? You forgot. So therefore, it doesn't make a basis. Therefore, you're able to tilt it out, because otherwise you wouldn't have been able to even move the barrel itself, because the barrel would become a basis. So the din is shokayah. Beautiful. So now the Gemara is going to say like this. If the barrel with the rock on it was amongst other barrels, what do we say? Lift the entire barrel with the rock on top of it, move it to the side, tilt it, and then drink from it, and then put it back. Now, there is another option over here. The other option would be, just take the rock, throw it off directly, and drink from the barrel. For some reason, the rabbis rather you lift the whole barrel up, even though technically you're also lifting the rock up with it. Granted, it's not direct contact with the rock, but they'd rather you deal with the barrel, which was mutar, even though it's exertion, lifting it up, putting it on the side, than dealing with the mukseh directly. Because the other option would be, you know what, we don't want you to lift the whole barrel and exert yourself. Just pick the rock up, throw it on the side, and drink from the barrel. So the Gemara is going to analyze, whose opinion is it that when you have an option to deal with heter and isur, we'd rather you deal with the heter? Meaning in this case, the barrel is the heter, the rock is the isur. So we have an option to go with the rock, or you go with the barrel. Go with the barrel. Whose opinion is that? So we're going to actually bring it as the opinion of Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel's opinion was not said by barrels. It was said by the law of Borer on Yom Tov. Okay, let's learn the case of Borer on Yom Tov, and we'll try to apply it back to the barrel case. So Gemara says, Man tana dekol echadika isura vehetera. Who's the opinion that says, whenever you have something isur and heter, for example, a rock and a barrel, behetera tarhinan. You exert yourself behetera, meaning by lifting the barrel, beisura lo tarhinan, but you don't exert yourself with the isur, meaning the moving of the rock directly. Amar Abba Hanan, Amar Yohanan, Lashbagi. It is following Rabbi Shlomo ben Gamliel, the way he interprets Beit Hillel, which we'll see right now. Ditnan. Haborer ketnit b'yom tov. A person is selecting ketniot, let's say beans, we'll call them, on yom tov, legumes. Now obviously you have psolet and ochel, right? You have the good part, you have the bad part. So Beit Shammai says, Beit Shammai meaning borer ochel ve'ochel. Beit Shammai says the regular law. You take the good from the bad and you eat it immediately. Meaning he owes yom tov, it's just like Shabbat. You have good and bad, you take the ochel from the psolet and eat. Beit Hillel has a hadush, however. Beit Hillel omrim borer kedarko. You could be borer however you want. You want to take the good from the bad. You want to take the bad from the good. Any way you want is okay. Behaiko ubetamhui. You're even allowed to use your hek, which means, let's say, your cloak. in order to use it to sift or select. You can even use a tamhui, which is another type of sifter. No problem. Bet Hillel is very lenient on Yom Tov.
V'tanya amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel.
But on this, that Bet Hillel said you can be borer kedarko, Rabban Shimon Gamliel explained it.
Tamid devarim amurim. When is that said? Sha'ochil miruba ala psolet.
Now watch this. If you have more ochel than psolet, what is easier to do?
Take the psolet out.
Of course, it's much easier to take out the psolet. You have, let's say, 95% food and 5% psolet. The easy way to do it with less exertion is just pull out the 5% of psolet. So in that case, that's when Bet Hillel allowed you to take psolet out. Only when the psolet is in the minority, because it's less exertion.
However, I'm a psolet miruba ala ochel.
But if you have the opposite, 95% psolet and 5% ochel, then even Bet Hillel will tell you what? Take the ochel out. Much easier to take the ochel from the psolet.
So then he says, devrako borer ochel. Oh, so now
we see a shita of Bet Hillel that says what? You always go with the less exertion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a case where you have, let's say, majority food and less psolet, then we let you go after the psolet. However, if you have majority psolet, right? Then you have to go after the food. Correct?
So how the Gemara says,
V'ha-ha-ha, apply this rule of Bet Hillel to the case of the barrel and the rock.
V'ha-ha-ha, d'chi ochel miruba ala psolet dami.
The Gemara wants to say that this case of the rock would be considered as if what? It's ochel miruba ala psolet. Meaning, in this case, where is the less exertion? It's much easier just to take the rock off than to lift the entire barrel, move it, and flip it. And therefore, Bet Hillel, you taught me the rule is what? That you always do the easier way. Meaning, if you have more ochel than psolet, you take the psolet. Why? Because it's easier. In this case, with the rock and the barrel, what's easier to do over here? It's easy just to take the rock with your hand and throw it off. So it's like more ochel than psolet. Then he allows you to take the psolet. The rock over here would be considered like the psolet. The barrel is considered like the ochel. Again, we're not talking about the laws of borer over here. We're just talking about the laws of exertion. So therefore, for the same reason that Bet Hillel allows you to take the psolet when it's in the minority, because it's easier, he should allow you to take the rock because it's easier than lifting the entire barrel.
So comes again when it says, no. Here also, he might have case of the barrel. Kevan di'iba'il mishkal. Since if you're going to want to empty out the contents of the barrel, lo mishtakil le'yayin, you're not going to be able to take the wine, ad de'shakile, until you actually lift it up, take out the word eben, kipsolet miruba la'ochedami.
It's considered as if it's psolet miruba, and therefore you can only take the barrel. What is the Gemara saying? If you're going to want to have drink the contents on the bottom of this barrel, which you want to drink it, right? Now, by taking off the rock, you're still going to end up have to lifting up the entire barrel in order to get the contents on the bottom. So therefore, by taking the rock, you're going to end up doing two exertions. Number one, you're going to have to take the rock, and then you're going to have to lift the barrel up anyway to get the contents that are on the bottom. So therefore, what's easier to do? It's easier in one shot just to lift up the whole barrel and flip it over. So therefore, this case would be considered as if there's more ochel than, there's more psolet than ochel. In the case where there's more psolet than ochel, what do? You take the ochel. And therefore over here, go after the barrel. Because by taking the barrel, lifting it up, that's the case that'll give you less exertion. Because anyway, if you're going to want to get to the wine on the bottom, you're going to have no choice anyway. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Gemara was saying that's why they chose quite a bit of lehem, because that is the easier way to do it. Comes the Gemara and says, "Haytab in a haviyot magbiyah." So we said what? If the barrel is amongst other barrels, like we just said, and there's a rock on top of it, so you don't want the rock to damage the surrounding barrel, so just lift up the whole barrel and pour it on the side. Tanya Rabbi Yosef, whatever bright that to support this. Let's say the barrel was in a storage house where there's other barrels next to it. Or let's say there were glass vessels next to it. Common denominator, if you're going to tilt the barrel, the rock is going to either break the other barrels or break the glass. So then what do you do? You lift up the entire barrel to a different place. You tilt it on its side. And the rock will fall off. Then you take the wine that you need to drink. And you're able to put it back in its place. We learned in the Mishnah, if you have money that is on the pillow, you're able to shake the pillow. Again, it's only talking where you forgot the money on the pillow. However, but if you place the money on the pillow before Shabbat intentionally, again, becomes a basis, and the pillow itself becomes mukseh. Even, let's say, when you forgot it. The only reason why we said you have to tilt it is because we're talking about when you need the pillow itself. So to access the pillow, all you got to do is tilt it. However, but let's say you need the place under the pillow, so tilting it is not going to be enough. Then you can actually lift the entire pillow with the money on it in order to use the place. Like we learned earlier. When do we say tilting? That's only what? Tzorek gufo. Because you need the pillow itself. Aval, tzorek mekomo. But if you need the place itself, metaltelo ve'odan alav, you can lift the entire pillow. Ma'od shalakar minachayr. Amar Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya now teaches a din. Shekach ad niki b'chaser. Let's say you forgot your wallet in a chaser, private domain. But you want to bring it in. You don't want it to stay outside. It's going to get ruined. So what do? It's mukseh. Maniach alav kikaro tinok. So he says, on Shabbat, go put a loaf of bread on it, or go put a child on it. Now you can lift it up, because now it becomes a basis for something that is mutar. Umetaltela. So there's the option. You can get the wallet inside by putting a loaf of bread on top of it. Now already it's a base for something that is mutar. Amar Yitzhak, shachach libena behaser. Another case, you forgot, let's say, a brick in the courtyard, and you want to bring the brick inside, you don't want it to get ruined. Maniach alea kikaro tinok. Again, place a kikar or a tinok, a child on it. Umetaltela. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rav Yosef, pamachat shechu diskiya melea ma'ot. One time they forgot a diskiya, I guess a pouch filled with money, besirtiya, in the Rishut HaRabim. And they were worried, it's going to get stolen, it's going to get ruined. Ubau v'shalu et Rabbi Yohanan. So they asked Rabbi Yohanan what to do. V'amar lehem, anichu alea kikaro tinok. Number one, to get the mukseh issue alleviated, put on it a loaf of bread, so it becomes a base now for heter, or put on it a child. Now how did they carry it? They carried it less than 4 amot, and they stopped. Less than 4 amot and stopped, because in Rishut Rabim, you can't carry more than 4 amot, so they carried it pahot, pahot, medal amot, until they got it to a, to the side of it, where they were, there was no issue. Now obviously they couldn't take it from the Rishut Rabim to Rishut Yachid, but they were able to move it to the side where, you know, it's out of harm's way. Amar Morzutra. Morzutra came along and said, Hilcheta kecholhani shemateta beshocheyah. He comes along and says that all these halakot that we just said, where you can put the kikar and you can put the tinok over there, this is all talking about shocheyah, which means you forgot the wallet in the chatzir. But you can't go look at the ilah and leave your wallet in the chatzir knowing that on Shabbat you're going to put a piece of bread on it in order to remove it. These are all talking about a situation happened. You forgot the wallet in the chatzir, then we'll say, yeah, you can do this kikar o tinok. But the chatzir, to leave your wallet there knowing that on Shabbat you're going to do it, no. Rabashe Amar Afilu Shakach Nameh. He said, no, no, no. Even if you forgot, let's say, lo, it's still asur. This kikar and tino keter doesn't apply. You can't put it on your wallet. You can't put it on your brick. Ve'lo amru kikar o tinok ela limit bilvad. This heter of kikar o tinok was only said by a dead body. A dead body because of kavod hamit. Out of respect to the mit is mukseh. But you need to move it. Let's say it's in the sun and it's decomposing. For a mit will be lenient to put a piece of bread on it or a tinok to carry. But stamp to save your wallet. Or to save your brick, forget about it. We don't give this heter. So we have a mahloket. To what extent of this heter of kikar and tinok? When the first opinion saying everything. The second opinion saying no. It's only said for a bit. Abaye, the Gemara tells two stories. Abaye manach kapa akipe. Abaye on Shabbat went and took a kapa, kaf, it's a spoon, tarvad, a ladle. And he put it on the bundles. It seems he had bundles of grain, which were mukseh, seemingly. And therefore, in order to carry them, he went and took a ladle. He put it on top and he carried them. That was Abaye's move. Rava manach sakina abaryona umetaltela. Rava took a knife and put it on a baryona. Baryona is a raw bird. Yona is a dove, right? It wasn't salted. Raw piece of meat. Seemingly mukseh. He wanted to move it. So what did he do? He took a non-mukseh, a knife, put it on top of it and moved it. So Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef was upset. He didn't like what they did. He said, "Kama harifa shmateta de dardeke." How sharp are these young scholars? Which means they think they know what they're doing. What they're doing over here? Lechet tehila to go on Shabbat and put the put a spoon on a mukseh item or to put a knife on it. He says they took this heter too far, which is he wasn't happy over there. He comes along and says that she writes. I'm sorry, the Gemara says, "Imar de'amur rabbanan b'shokeyach." When did the rabbis allow you to do this heter? If you forgot the item and there's going to be a loss, lechatehila mi amur. It seems these rabbis went lechatehila. Knowing that the item was there from before Shabbat, and still, they put the spoon, they put the knife. So the Gemara says, "Oh, how sharp these young rabbis are! They think they know the law here. They're going out of their way looking for that to put it. Hey, the rabbis weren't so lenient. The rabbis were not lenient. Look at Tehila." So comes Abaye Rava, and they defend themselves. They come along. Amar Abaye, ilav de Adam Hashuv ana. Were not for the fact that I'm Adam Hashuv, meaning, and people are scrutinizing everything I do, and therefore, even if I do something that's mutar, they might learn to do something isur, but if it wasn't for that fact, I wouldn't even put a spoon on this item. You know why? Ana kapa akipe lamali. Why do we even have to put a spoon on the grain, on the bundles of grain? Ha hazu limizga alayu. They're worthy to sit on. And therefore they're not even mukseh. You can use them as mats. So he was trying to say, I wasn't relying on any hittidim over here. I didn't even have to put a spoon on it, by the way. The only reason why I put a spoon on it is because people are watching me because I'm Adam Hashuv. And if I don't put a spoon on it, the people are going to come and say, oh, if you can move bundles of grain, you can move something else that you're not allowed to do. So therefore I was just putting the spoon on it as a chumrah, so that people don't learn to go further. But I didn't even have to do that, because it's not mukseh. And then Rava protected himself. Amar Rava, ana ilav da adam hashuv ana. If I was not adam hashuv, people are scrutinizing and watching me. Sakina abar yonah lamali. I wouldn't even have to put the sakin on the dove. Ha hazidi leumsa. Because I can eat it raw. Didn't we learn in the last sugya that sometimes people would eat raw meat, especially the yonah meat, which is soft? So he says, why do you think I put the knife on top of the bar yonah? Because of mukseh issues? It's not even mukseh, by the way. I just did it because You know, the people are watched, so therefore they were able to defend themselves. So the Gemara concludes and says, Ta'amad hazil umsa. Oh, one more point. The only reason that Rava justified himself because he said what? I can eat it as raw meat. Halo hazil umsa lo. Implying what? If this meat over here was not befitting to eat as umsa, so it would be considered mukseh. Right? Must be that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's review Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. This umsa, this raw meat, I'm sorry, it's not umsa. Let's say if this meat over here was not befitting to eat as raw meat. It sounds like Nabawa was holding mukseh. Who holds like that? Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Really, this piece of meat, you can give to the animals. Why should it be mukseh? The Biyudah is strict. The Biyudah says, if it's fit for human consumption, even though you can give it to the animals, it still remains mukseh. And therefore, after Shabbat, this item over here is fit for human consumption, which means go salt it, go eat it. So he holds that the item that's mukhan le'adam, which is going into Shabbat, this item was fit for human consumption, right? And therefore, even though now you could give it to the animals, it's still mukseh. So it seems Rava that said, I was able to move this meat. It's umsa, I could have eaten it. Implying that if he couldn't eat it, even though it's befitting to give to the animals, it's still mukseh. Whose opinion is that? Rabbi Yehuda. So comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? We have a story with Rava that he told his servant, Tavili bar avza, it was Yom Tov. He told him, go roast for me a bar avza, a goose. Vishadeh me'el l'shunra. And take the insides of the goose and throw it to the cats. Let's review. Rava told his servant on Yom Tov,